So yesterday we learned about the idea of Kohanim, the responsibility we have to provide for them, and the service that they in turn provide to the Jewish people. 2 days ago we talked about monarchy, and we talked about succession, and who should be a king. So today's lesson is going to talk about divination, of various forms of occult and idolatrous practice. And the Chizkuni says that there's a direct link. One subject leads to the next. He says, first we talk about the people who you are obligated to listen to, namely the Kohanim. And then we talk about the people you're not allowed to listen to, namely the practitioners of occult and the divination. Tzuri Hamor adds that this also follows on the heel of the teachings about a Melech Yisrael, because the king is not supposed to be seeking counsel from crystal ball gazers and tarot card readers and Ouija board people and all the other things that the Torah doesn't talk about those things, but the things that the Torah talks about instead, the Melech Yisrael should supposed to seek guidance from a Navi or from the Urim V'Tumim. Chapter 18, verse 9, Ki ata bo el ha'aretz, for you are coming to the land, asher Hashem alekecha neisein loch, that Lord God is giving you. Just because you're coming to the land doesn't mean you should be learning from its previous inhabitants. Do not borrow a page from the playbook of those nations. Do not indulge in the behavior that they did. Rashi says, you're not allowed to learn. La'asais, to do. Says Rashi, you're not allowed to learn what to do. However, you are allowed to study their writings and books. You are allowed to learn about this in order for you to be able to adjudicate, for you to be able to deal with the halacha, what is considered to be a cult, what is not considered to be a cult, what is a prosecutable crime, and so on and so forth. Kiloimar, in other words, lahovin ma'aseim kamehim mikul kolim. Rashi here says differently. Rashi in Maseches Sanhedrin says you're allowed to learn about this to know how to prosecute the crime. But here Rashi says in Chumash that you should learn how rotten, how bad, how distorted, how perverted their behavior is. And lahiris levanecha, to say to your children, loisase kach v'kach, we don't do that. Shezehu choy kagoyim. This is the statute of the nations that Hashem had driven out from before us. This is not the way we behave. This is not Jewish behavior. And that's the meaning of Leisilmed Laseis. You should not learn in order to do. Emphasis on Laseis. Rabbeinu Bachaya says that the Sanhedrin had to be expert in this subject, because if the Sanhedrin is supposed to judge what is a machashef, what is one who practices witchcraft and one is not, how could they do it if they don't even know what they're talking about? So you have to know what's going on, because you have to be able to adjudicate. You have to be able to sit in a judicial system. Prosecute. You shall not find amongst you a person who would bring his son or daughter ba'esh and fire. These are various details of the kinds of idolatry. Now Rashi maintains that the first thing the pasuk speaks about, when ma'avir b'noyu ubite ba'esh, bringing one's son and daughter through a fire, is that he avodas hamolech. This is the molech idol, which was once a very popular form of serving idols. What would they do? Oise maduras esh, they would make a large fire, mikan u'mikan, so there would be a blazing fire on either side. Uma'aviroi, and you bring the child, bein shteim, between the two fires. Yes, there were some horrible forms of idolatry, and they actually burnt children, but that's not the case here. Here, there would be two fires, and in the molech, you would place the child through the fire. Thus, you would enter him into devotion to this fire god that they worshipped. So that's the first thing. Rashi says, Ma'avir b'no obita means the most famous idolatry of the day, the most popular idolatry. Kaisim kesamim. Here Rashi says this is a general terminology for ideas that are connected to witchcraft. And the first and most potent reason a person would engage in the occult is to try to divine the future. People want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. Everybody's very curious. Want to know how to plan their life. So Rashi says, Ezeu kosem, what does the kosem do? Oichezes, hoichezes, makli, holds his staff. Vaimer, Im Elech, Im Lo Elech, will I go, will I not go? And he kind of moves the staff back and forth, and he guess he sees which side the staff falls, and that's the way he decides to behave. V'chein hu oimer, and similarly, this is what the prophet Hosea bemoans his fate and the behavior of the Jewish people, and he says in the name of God, Ami be'etza yishal, umakla yagidle, my nation is asking the wood, a piece of wood, and a staff is telling it to him. By the way, knock on wood is a totally not Jewish idea, just so you should know that. And this is comes from this idea, partly, Ami be'etza yishal, how terrible it is when we're asking wood what to do. So Rashi's terminology or description doesn't sound so much like idolatry. Let me rephrase that. It doesn't sound so much like witchcraft. It sounds like, you know, luck of the draw, see which way the stick falls. But the Rambam and the Ramban and the Radak all say that kesem means when one puts themselves into a state of distorted consciousness. And in that state of distorted consciousness, one seeks for an idea to kind of fall into their head. So this would be certain things that in Eastern practice they do, where they empty their minds. They go through a mantra again and again and again and again until they empty their mind and then see what falls into their mind. So this is a form of the occult. This is a form of idolatrous practice, something that the Torah prohibits. Another approach is that this is similar to the concept of like cards, playing with cards, because the way Reb Sadia Gaon says, a person is going out to the way, so therefore he's throwing sticks, one stick, another stick, another, put sticks one on top of the other, and he says, let's see where all the sticks, well, they start to fall, see which way they start to go, which again, is more like in line with Rashi, and does not seem to be a particularly witchcraft-oriented or occult-oriented thing, rather just like luck of the draw kind of thing. Okay, me'oinen. What is a me'oinen? Our sages have a dispute about what me'oinen is, and Rashi actually brings different opinions. He says, Rabbi Akiva says, Elu neisen oinos. These are people who give times. You must do this at this time. This is the time that's propitious for X. That's the time that's propitious for Y. And yet another time is propitious for Z. And that's when you should do these different things. And only then will you be able to achieve success. So they say, Oina plain is yafala haschil, this is the right time to start, and so on and so forth. The Chachamim say, Eilu echazei ha'inayim. This is the magicians. So the word oinen is not from the word of time, because oinen could be a time. But here it doesn't mean time, he says. Here it's a permutation, the Chachamim say, of the word einayim. So once upon a time, people used to actually think that those who practiced magic were able to marshal or harness some of the supernatural forces, or the spiritual forces, and it's possible that once they did. Today it's all sleight of the hand. But then they were able to marshal some of these abilities, so that would be a form of idolatry and something that the Torah prohibits. So that's a ma'onin. The Raveh says that ma'onin is also, could come from Lashon Ono, could come from response. And he says, this could also be related to the idea of ananim, of clouds. So the Raveh maintains it's similar to what Ramban and Rambam say, and Radak say, about the concept of kesem ksomim, of emptying oneself until you receive like a response. And the another suggestion is that you look in the clouds, you see figures and pictures and images, and you use that as a sign. If you noticed on Facebook, people post lots of things of clouds looking this way and clouds looking that way, as if that's some kind of divine message or God speaks to you through the clouds. Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya emphasize this idea very strongly, and they believe that Ma'inin, even though the Gemara doesn't say that, very interestingly, but these are Shainim say that Ma'inin is Mabit Ba'anonim, you're looking into the clouds and you're seeing stuff there. Menachesh, what is a Menachesh? Menachesh, says Rashi, is Pita Inofla Mipiv. Something falls out of his mouth when he's eating. Or tzvi hifsike baderech. A deer crossed his path. So maybe in modern terminology we would say a black cat crossed your path. That's all the same thing. Makli nafal miyadei. The stick dropped out of his hand. And the person will say, oh, this means X or this means Z. Or somebody's communicating to me and I'm being told something and therefore I'm not allowed to do this. The Torah goes on to talk about more details. V'choy v'rchover v'shoyal oiv. Chayver Chaver, we'll see, Rashi says, means, Shemitzarif, Nechoshim, Ayakravim, Ayashar Chayas, Lamachemechad, you bring all these poisonous snakes and scorpions into one place, and you're like a snake charmer. And I guess you think you're going to get some kind of answer or response or guidance from these snakes or scorpions. Then there's the Shoel Ov, Rashi says, this is Machshefes, witchcraft practitioners, Sheshmo Pitom, Medaber Meshechi, that they bring up this spirit that speaks from their armpits. They take a corpse or a skull and they put it in their underarmpit and stuff happens, or they think so. And they also seek to communicate with the dead. This is like Halloween celebration, looking for ghosts and goblins and trying to sleep in cemeteries in order for the dead to communicate with us. What's a yidoni? Yidonis, Rashi says, is machnes etzem chaya sheshmo yadua. You take the bone of some kind of creature named the yadua, and you put it into your mouth. Umedaber ha'etzem, and then you start, the bone starts speaking and clacking. Ayidei machshefes, and it's also through forms of witchcraft. How do you doida shalah mesim? Rashi gives us quite a repugnant form of seeking to commune with the dead. Gren ha'male bizachrusay, like a person who would place a skeleton or pieces or parts of a skeleton on his male genitalia. And nishal begulgoylus, and also one who is going to talk to a skull. So he tries to communicate with the skull and get a response. Now, some of this stuff sounds absolutely perverse and disgusting and horrific, and some of it may actually be efficacious. The Torah, we're not necessarily saying that it has no efficacy. In fact, the Rambam says that it doesn't, but Ramban says that in fact flies in the face of stories in Chazal, stories in Tanakh, where there was something efficacious about this kind of practice. It's not so simple that it's meaningless. But here's the point. It doesn't matter if it's efficacious. The Torah says don't do it. Why? Verse 12. Ki soyavas Hashem kol oisei eila. For God says this is abominable. Ubiglal hatoyeves ha'ela, and it is because of these abominations. Hashem alekecha moirish oisa mipanecha. That's why God tossed and emptied those nations out of the land of Israel. That's how they lost the land of Israel. Says Rashi, kol eisa ela, oisa kol ela leinemer. It doesn't say oisa kol ela, one who does all of these things. That would mean you have to do all these abominations. And only when you did them all, that's when you violated the Torah. Rashi doesn't say that. Ella, it says, kol oisei ela. Anybody who does any, afilo achas mehem, even one of these, if you do any of these, not all of these, any of these will necessarily earn you that bitter end, in which you will not remain in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. What should you do instead? Rather, says the Torah, tomim tihyeh im Hashem alikecha. Rather, walk wholeheartedly, serve Hashem with simplicity, with sincerity. Says Rashi, what does this mean to serve Hashem wholeheartedly? Talmim tiyim Hashem alikecha. Rashi says that this pasuk, this verse, comes as a continuation of the previous verses. The previous verses say, do not seek divination. Do not seek to connect to all kinds of shamans and spirits. Shamans and spirits are avodah zarah, that's idolatry. It's not for you. Do not seek the future by means of various mechanisms, even if these methodologies could be effective. Do not seek this. But rather, hishalach imoy b'tmimus. Walk with Hashem with wholehearted sincerity, with pure faith. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Almighty God, tells us do mitzvahs. That we know is real. Do the mitzvahs. But what will be in the future? And how will I know? Who says that's your job to know? You're put in this world to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to follow the Torah mitzvahs. So what should I do if I'm not sure? Ask it of. Find out what the halacha says. You walk with Hashem in wholehearted sincerity. That's all that's asked of you. He didn't ask you to be smarter than that. Tomim tiyem Hashem alekecha. His halech imay betmimos. Walk with him wholeheartedly. Walk with him sincerely. V'titzap eloi. You yearn. You look to Hashem for answers. And that's where your response comes from. Do not sit and investigate. What about the future? And what would this say? And maybe I could find out some hint, some mystery. Maybe I communicate with the dead. Whatever comes upon you, kabel bismimos, accept it wholeheartedly and sincerely. That's how you should deal with the Rebbeinu Shlomo.
Isn't the danger here that if you accept all these things, it eventually become part of your religion, you adopt them? Just like in the Catholic Church, they have all kinds of pagan rituals that they adopted when they started, and it became part of their religion, Easter and all this.
Okay. So let me respond to your question in threefold. First of all, your supposition is that these are bad things because if you will do them, they will become part of your religion. So, I mean, the answer is yes and no. Even if they don't become part of anything, you're still not allowed to do it. In other words, it's not prohibited because it might. It's prohibited because it's prohibited. Hashem says these acts are abominable in and of themselves, number one. Number two, this was actually a form of a faith system. This was actually a religion, if you will, that people practiced. Number three, I don't want to discuss particular faith systems, but many of them are essentially ancient paganism rehashed with little monotheism sprinkled on top. And they have enormous amounts of pagan and occult practices. But if you call it monotheism, then it becomes a little bit more cleaner. Why did the masses embrace them? Because it's what they used to. They didn't have to change what they did. They're doing all the same things, just call it a different name. So it was very popular. Monotheism that's not absolute will go very well. Or monotheism that's absolute but uses all kinds of pagan practices will also be very popular. The Torah is transcendent of the world's reality. It doesn't pattern itself after the realities of any particular civilization or anthropology. And because of that, people will choke on its message and have a difficult time assimilating it. It won't be so intuitive to them. Whereas if you follow the pagan systems or whatever people are popular or people like, this is great. This is very convenient. I don't want to comment further. You got it?
Yeah.
You got it. So this is abominable. And now Rashi says, just like it said, that if you will do these things, bad things can happen to you in the end. And in fact, they did. That's why those nations were removed from the Holy Land. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Mashi Avi Alecha Kabel Bismimus. Rashi tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, whatever comes your way, accept it. Accept it. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. Yes, dear. That's what you have to know. Two words with God. Yes, dear. That's all. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. That's our approach to Yiddishkeit. The Oz, and then Tihiya Imai. Then you'll be with him. And then you'll be Ulechelkai. Then you'll be, like it says, later on in Parshas Hazino, Chelek Havaya Amai, God is actually a part of his people. So that's when you'll be a part of his people. And that's the Tamim Tiyah Im Hashem Alekecha. You want to be Im Hashem Alekecha? If you'll be Tamim Tiyah, if you'll serve Hashem with wholehearted sincerity, then you'll be Im Hashem Alekecha. Now it's very interesting to note that Unkelus does not say the same thing that Rashi says. Unkelus says, Shlim Tihi Bedechalte. Be wholesome, be perfect in your reverence for Hashem. Ramban follows the approach of Unkelus. He says, Nihye shleimim. We should be intact, whole, perfect. And if you're perfect with Hashem, so then you don't know to seek any alien forces or ideas or theologies. You don't need to go there because you're perfect with Hashem. But when your Yiddishkeit is not perfect, when it has gaping holes, then you may end up going through all kinds of strange places. And the question I'd like to pose to you this morning is, why doesn't Rashi take that approach? Isn't that the simpler approach? Tamim means whole. Okay. So if Tamim means whole, then why don't we just say, Tamim ti im Hashem alekecha, be whole, your yireh, your reverence for Hashem should be intact. It should be whole. Furthermore, this business of Tamim, of being whole, has already appeared in the Torah. And interestingly, Rashi never elected to explain it. It's certainly not in the fashion that he does here. Only here does Rashi choose to explain it, that it means sincerity, wholeheartedness. And the question is why? Go to the Biurim book, page Reish Chaf Hei, Simen Hei. This is the fifth entry under Parsha Shoftim. Yesh Lishoel, the Rebbe asks, Hamusik Tomim, the notion, Tomim, intact, Kvar, it already appears because of B'mekoymes Kredmim, in a number of places. When is the first time we hear about a person behaving with Hashem in a manner which could be described as tumim? You should know this.
Noah.
Very good. Noah, beginning of the Torah, second parsha of the Torah. It says, Noah ish tzaddik, he was righteous. What's the next word used to describe his righteousness? Tumim. Rashi says nothing. We have, the next time is not with Noah, but with, fast forward 10 generations, Avraham Avinu. Very good. That it says with regard to Avraham, when he does not have a bris milah and he's 99 years old, Hashem says, Avraham, my dear, his halach lefanai, ve'yei samim. It's time to walk before me. It's time to become intact. It's time to become whole. Rashi says nothing. Rashi doesn't find it necessary to explain the meaning of Noach ish tzadik tomim hoyo. Tomim hoyo, tomim. He doesn't explain tzadik either. He doesn't explain when Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, hisalach lefana veheye samim, he doesn't say anything. Mitamol, when it comes to Pasha Shaftim, suddenly Rashi finds a need. He's compelled suddenly, lefaresh mashma usish la musika zed afke kan. Here all of a sudden, Rashi says, oh, I must explain this to you. You probably will never understand what does it mean, tamim tia. So now, let me explain. The tamim tia means, hishalich imay betmimus, walk wholeheartedly, behave with sincerity. Titzap eloi, look to him, await him. Don't look anywhere else. This is what we say in Talmudic parlance, mimonafshach. You can't have it two ways. Either it's not understood, so Rashi has an obligation to explain to us what this means, and if so, we should have done that many, many parshiyot to go at the beginning of the Torah and Parshas Noach, or at least, if you want to say that Noach wasn't Jewish and it wasn't Torah, at least with Avraham Avinu, when it's the first mitzvah Avraham gets, he should say, heyei, samim. And if it's not necessary, if this is simple to understand, then why bother saying anything here? Habir b'zeh. So here's the explanation. Pirush hamilo tomim, the meaning of the word tomim, b'sha'or m'kaymes and other places, hu shalem, is whole. Whole as if, as in, not broken. Intact, whole. For example, the Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, is full of the idea of a korban tamim. A korban has to be tamim. Why does a korban have to be tamim? Because you don't bring a korban that's broken or blemished. You bring a korban that's tamim. So when you have a description of a person and you say that he is tamim, this at first blush, what does that mean? He's tamim. That means he's whole. Adam hamasr l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu, a person is given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'lemitzvais of b'shleimus. Which is actually what Unkelus is. And that's what Ramban follows. Elashaladas Rashi. But from Rashi's opinion, from Rashi's approach, Pirush zeh eini mistaberkan. This doesn't work here. Why not? Because HaPasuk tamim tia im Hashem alikecha. This verse, verse 13 of chapter 18, which says that you should be tamim with Hashem your God. Bal behemshech lepsukim hakoidman. It comes as a direct response to the previous verses. Shebohem, in the previous verses, Maifia Rishima Shalisurim, there is a sundry list of prohibitions. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't be a Kaisim and don't be a Ba'inin and don't be a Menachesh and don't be a Deir Shalomesim. A whole bunch of occult practices that you shouldn't do because they're all abominable. Don't have a child, person to pull his child to the fire. Deir Shalomesim, don't be seeking divination and communication with the dead. If you take this entire collection of psukim, beginning with verse 9, concluding here with verse 13, and you say it is one collection of verses, this continuation, syntactually, has to fit. Because Tamim Tia follows that. Here's the don't do A, don't do B, don't do C, don't do D, and now you're coming along and say, what should you do? Instead, Tamim. So the mashmois, the intimation of the ksuvim is, al taver al isurim be'elu. Don't do these things. And now, elabederech menugedes, do the exact opposite. What's the opposite of doing these things? What's the opposite of being a smart aleck, a wise guy? What's the opposite of trying to figure out what's happening tomorrow? What's the opposite of trying to divine? What's the opposite of trying to be engaged in a practitioner of the occult so that I will know what to do tomorrow? What's the opposite of that? Simple, sincere. I don't know. What will be tomorrow? I don't know what will be tomorrow. Tomorrow, hopefully, I'll wake up in the morning. I'll say Mayda Ani. I'll wash Negevasser. I'll say Brachas. I'll go to Mikvah. I'll learn Torah. I'll daven. I don't know. Well, what if? I don't know what if. It's not my job to know what if. I know the Eibush, the Almighty God, gave me a mission. He gave me a purpose here. He told me exactly what to do. I have a Shulchan Aruch. That's what I do. Yeah, sincere. Straightforward. Not to be cunning and clever. But cunning and clever, not in a positive way. Like you're always looking for some kind of conspiracy theory. And you're always trying to see what's behind everything. Straightforward. It is what it is. You say what you say. You are who you are. Straightforward. So the Torah comes along and says, don't do these things, but rather tamim. So Ramban says, yeah, if you'll be tamim, you will never even go in that direction. But Rashi's not satisfied with that approach, because syntactually, if you have a collection of verses, then this is the yin and the yang, so to speak. This is the pro and the con. Here's what you shouldn't do. That's the con. Here's the pro. Here's what you should do instead. It has to match. It has to be kind of the counterbalance. Lochein, therefore, ain't a miskabel al adas. You cannot assume that tomim here means shalem. Tomim means whole. Kiloimar, meaning Adom HaMaser LaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person who's given over to Hashem, umekayim es kol mitzvesav, and he fulfills all of God's instructions b'shleimus in perfection. Sharei haksuvim kan oiskim bihimonus, the ksuvim, the psukim here are dealing not with a general statement about Yiddishkeit, you should serve God. The psukim here are dealing with a statement of mikvutzam mugd. Still. So the point here is that the psukim are speaking about a collection of a specific set of prohibitions. V'loy b'shmiras kol mitzvahs. These verses don't speak about keeping all the mitzvahs. These psukim speak about avoiding a particular collection of mitzvahs, what's known as the mitzvahs of avodah zarah, or the mitzvahs of kishuv. V'lochein, therefore, mefarash Rashi, here Rashi elects to explain Shapirish hamunach, that the simplistic, natural approach, that tamim means, shalem means whole, doesn't fit here. Doesn't fit here. It fits with Noach ish tamim. Noach was whole. He was perfect. Every spiritual hair was in place, combed. He was well coiffed spiritually. Everything he was supposed to do, he did. Avram was almost perfect. What was he missing? The bris milah. Hashem says, hayei tamim. Avram Avinu. You got 612. Now it's time to get the order 613. And the various reasons why Hashem gives him a command that he doesn't do that by himself, which I don't want to talk about right now. That's for another morning, as they say. But the point is, Avram did not have a perfect record up until that moment. It makes sense to say that when Hashem said, Hisalach lefanei v'hayei tamim, walk before me and be perfect, it means to take something off, not to add something. And you take that off, then you'll be perfect, because then you'll have all the mitzvahs. But in this collection of psukim, in this particular instance in the Torah here, in Parsha Shoftim, when the Torah speaks about a particular collection of psukim, what is the response here? Don't do A, B, C, D, E, G, of all these things which are bad, and instead, a yesamim, instead be a perfect Jew. It has to be a counterbalance. So therefore, Rashi comes along and he says, what's the opposite of Maisik Shafim? What's the opposite of seeking to divine Haggadah Sasida, is trying to tell the future in the various ways? What's the opposite of that? Hanhaga b'tmimus, wholehearted sincerity. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I do know with certainty that there's a Rabbeinu Shalilah, and he has expectations of me, and I will try to meet those expectations to the best of my ability. His halei chimoy b'tmimus, walk with Hashem in wholehearted sincerity. Don't be a wise guy. Don't try to figure out what the future is going to bring. You do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you. Accept upon yourself what HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you away. And in this way, you'll be imoy. You'll be with him for all time. And that makes a heck of a lot of sense. And now we understand why Rashi didn't say anything previously. But here, he had to say something. Because here, the word tamim does not mean the intuitive thing, but rather it means wholehearted sincerity.